Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Good evening and welcome to Encouragementology. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. We have got an interesting topic tonight. We are going to be getting real. Are you ready to get real? Becoming you, honestly you? We're going to dig in and see what that's all about tonight. So you may have to ask yourself some hard questions tonight. So be prepared for that, but you should be settling in. You're off work. You're ready to just listen and reflect, and this is a good time to do that. So we're going to be doing that. Why do we have to be sitting at some sort of critical crossroad in our life to realize we need to change? Have you thought about that? Haven't you heard no pain, no change? What are you searching for to make yourself feel real? Is it friends, love, maybe acceptance or some sort of awakening? Maybe a hobby or stuff, more stuff and even more stuff. When you sit alone with your thoughts, did all that work? Are all those things honestly you? Think about it. Ask yourself, are you ready to start getting real? Let's think all the way back. We're going to go all the way back in time. So we're going to start with the little you, right? Think all the way back to then. What did you want to be? Think about that. You know, everyone, when they're little, they want to be something. A lot of times it's multiple things. I had asked a little girl one time, she said, I want to be a mother and I want to work at McDonald's. I said, you can do both of those things. I wanted to be an actress for as long as I can remember. Even when I was a very little girl, my family has me on audio reel. They have me talking about being a movie star, all the things I wanted to do. And that's right, I did say audio reel. For my younger listeners, this was a big spool of tape to record on. This was before 8-track, cassette, or CDs, or definitely before those voice memos you could do on your phone. So it wasn't one of those things you could actually do to catch any kind of cool moments on the fly. And believe me, I had plenty of those. I was overly dramatic. I probably still am, but definitely as a child. Never met a stranger and always saw things much bigger than they were. Does she sound familiar to you? Do you have memories like that? I know my brother wanted to be a fire truck. Not a fireman. He wanted to be a fire truck. So, you know, when you thought anything was possible, what did you want to be? Before people said, you're not smart enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not rich enough, what did you see yourself doing? Buzz. Then the alarm goes off and you wake up and you're late for your minimum wage 9-to-5 job. The kids are screaming, the phone's ringing and the car won't start and you're sure you're going to get fired. What happened in between? When do we start giving up on all our childhood dreams? How did we get here? What happened? Life? Life gets in the way, doesn't it? You know, life tells us to find a steady job, a safe routine, work our way up, save for the future, while at the same time, we're supposed to be creative, inventive, and successful. Oh, and we're supposed to have an entrepreneurial spirit, all the latest tools and gadgets, be connected on everything, active on social media. Oh, and journaling life as you go. Do you have all that down? Is that what you're all about? No wonder we lose sight of who we really are and what we want. How could we ever keep up? You think about it. Technology makes everything at our fingertips. As a result of that, we've lost patience for life, patience for just growing and evolving. We want it now, right now. Not even tomorrow. We wanted it yesterday. where's our patience? You know, I remember growing up hearing things like children should be seen and not heard. This was my mom's attempt at eliciting some good behavior. Just get me to be quiet. Maybe you've heard some of these. Sit up straight. Get your hair out of your eyes. Use your inside voice. No talking when the lights go out. Sit still or sit back. That was the one I always heard. It was usually because I would sit forward in the car before seatbelts, right? So my parents wanted me to sit back in order to, which really just meant, could you be quiet? Sit back and stop talking. I was always up in between their two seats, just talking away. How about don't speak until you're spoken to? Be polite. Be good. So many rules just to fit in and not ruffle any feathers. How do you create your own identity under that much control? Back then, it would have been being a rebel, right? Marching to your own drummer, or just simply thought of as bad behavior. If you went against the grain and did anything else, you know, got out of line. So many rules. Then fast forward to adulthood, and we need to be assertive. We need to speak up. We need to be direct, stand tall, keep moving, push hard. Just do it. Take charge. We learn to behave in a certain way depending on the situation and the audience we're dealing with. Because of that, it's natural to develop personas to match that environment, to get what we need to get. Personas, what is that? Well, it's a way we present ourselves to the public. It can include things like our personality, our social roles, like being a parent or being a business person. It can include our image, even our mannerisms or the way we talk, what we wear. It's the bridge from our inner self to our outer world. It translates our individual expression into a format that's socially acceptable, right? There's certain ways to act in front of certain groups, and that's what we're taught, just so that we can sort of fit in. We can be accepted, right? Sometimes we're called upon to be strong, make tough decisions, and lead. Other times, we're directed to go with the flow, follow the pack. There are times where it's easy to make that transition. In fact, you make it every day. You might be nurturing and loving at home, and then you get in your car at 8 a.m., you head to the office, only to be strong, direct, and then you come back home and you fall right back into your role of caregiver. Sometimes you're putting this hat on and off, on and off. You can see how it'd be easy to lose touch. Other times, you get lost in the shuffle. And life is moving so fast that you don't even take time to consider which persona has the right fit for the right moment. You forget where you are and what you're supposed to be doing and who you're supposed to be. Sometimes our personas are temporary and they don't feel comfortable for an extended period of time, kind of like shoes that are too small and you can't wait to get them off at the end of a long day. The persona doesn't quite fit right. And because of that, it can be suffocating or constricting. You just can't keep it up for long. You start to crack. Think about that as I talk about it. What are some of the personas or the masks that you wear? Which ones feel normal? You put them on every day. Which ones don't feel right and you're kind of faking it? You stick it on for as long as you can. You hold it together, hoping nobody can see that it doesn't quite fit right. Kind of like a wig where your hair's sticking out from underneath. Doesn't quite fit right, so you keep adjusting it, hoping that they can't see the blonde versus the brunette, but it doesn't quite fit right. Nevertheless, it's important to understand what's appropriate for every situation. That's how we live in society. That's how we get along. just as you wouldn't speak to your children like you're directing a board meeting. You wouldn't coddle your employees if you were trying to meet a deadline or push everyone to rally behind a project, right? Knowing the difference makes for better communication, better relationships, and just better outcomes. Sometimes you have to conform. How many personas are you juggling? Think about that. Maybe write some of those down. You might have forgotten. Do you have a few you've adopted and, you know, some are just in case of emergency? You know, which ones are really just a part of you, almost like you can't take them off? And which ones do you just pull out when you need it? Just like there are two sides to every story, there are pros and cons to every persona. Let's explore the pros first. They can help you adapt and deliver appropriate behavior when expected. So they're important. They allow you to conform with society in the most positive way possible. They give you an outlet to express yourself in a challenging situation. Can you think of some more pros to your personas? Why do you have them? What do they do for you? Now, what about the cons? When you adopt a persona that you aren't comfortable with to be accepted by someone else, that's a con. When you allow a persona to change the way you feel about yourself, when you hide behind a persona instead of revealing your true identity in a close relationship, do the people closest to you really know you? When you get home from work, do you just sort of melt and take all of that off? Almost like a mask that you're just taking off and you just let it all out because now this is the real you. And you just don't feel comfortable exposing that to everyone around you. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of rejection? Afraid how they're going to judge you? Are you afraid they're not going to like you? Maybe they'll like you too much. There are some people that don't, you know, want to keep people at arm's length. They don't want to get too close to people. Maybe you put on a strong exterior, a rough outer shell because you don't want people to get in. Have you taken your personas too far? Are you in danger of losing the real you to the pretend you? That's something to ask yourself. Does this persona stay on most of the time? Are you morphing into someone else for all the wrong reasons? If you feel inadequate in who you are and you change to get more attention, more acceptance, or more love, then you are demonstrating the negative side of personas. Do you feel unworthy as you? Just who you are. If someone withholds love and attention until you look or act or respond a certain way, and you say, if only I was this way or that way, they would love me, you are demonstrating the negative side to personas. I speak from experience on this subject. I'm a people pleaser and have been known to put aside my feelings, my desires, my own truths for other people. Not really sure why or where exactly that comes from. I just want everyone to feel comfortable and be happy. In some sick way, I think I can actually make that happen if I try hard enough. A lot of failed attempts later, I found out that is not the case. I don't possess that power to make everyone else happy. No matter how much I try, how much I put a smile on or even spread encouragementology, I don't possess that. Now, that doesn't mean I will stop trying, but I have to be real. This is about becoming real and being honest. all the morphing and the bending that you can do, all the conceding, you will be confused, not even sure where you started from. You can only do this for a certain period of time. Eventually, your own opinions aren't even familiar to you anymore. If someone asks you how you feel about something, you have to stop and really think about that. Have you done that? When someone says, well, what do you think? And you're like, oh, I don't know. I know maybe what my spouse might think. I know how they would react. I know what my kids might think. I don't really know how I feel. You've abandoned yourself to become someone else you thought others wanted you to be. Now, how do you go back and find you? Well, it starts by peeling back the layers until you expose something that feels right, feels true, and feels like you. The only way you can get to the core is to be honest with yourself. Really honest. So I want you to answer these questions openly and honestly. Remember, you're by yourself, so you don't have to raise your hand and answer them out loud. Think about all the times in your life when you felt like you had to be on. I'm doing air quotes, on. When you couldn't be honest with how you really felt when you chose to pretend to be something you weren't. What was the reason that happened? Was it to please another person? Did you feel like they wouldn't like you if you didn't act that way? Was it to fit in? Was it to hide from something else? If you were asked to describe yourself, could you talk about your strengths and your weaknesses with confidence? This can be a tough one. Can you identify what you're good at and what might be more challenging? Most of us can think about the challenging times pretty easily, right? We're great self-critics. We can come up with everything that we're doing wrong. But if you are asked, it's usually one of the hardest questions on a job interview when somebody says, tell us about your strengths. Yikes. Nobody likes to brag about themselves. Well, not some people do, but most of us don't like to brag. Sometimes internal reflection can be one of the hardest things you'll have to do, especially if you've lost touch with your true self. You're going to have to dig deep on that. Are you always the same in how you act regardless of the situation you're in? What you get is what you see. If not, when do you find yourself morphing into someone else? Why do you feel the pull to do that? When is that moment? Identifying that's really important. When do you feel almost like the turtle head going in the shell? Like, when do you retreat? When you're around others, do you feel strained and uncomfortable and find it hard to relax? Are you only truly comfortable when you're by yourself? What kind of social situations cause you the most discomfort? Has anyone ever told you that they thought you were one way, but then when they got to know you, they realized you were really another way? This could be like you're presenting yourself one way, maybe as a defense mechanism. I don't really trust them yet. I'm not going to let them totally in. And then when they start to demonstrate some trust, you're able to maybe give them a little deeper seat, right, in your consciousness. Has anyone ever commented on how you act differently around certain people? Maybe listen to that and identify what people they're speaking about. Do you ever act like you don't care what other people think, but deep down, it really stings when others judge you or reject you? When you say, I don't care what people think about me, is that really how you feel? What can someone say that sort of stings, hits a raw nerve, a trigger? I know for me, if you attack my character, I don't know why, but, you know, I really value that about myself. And so if someone says something that they might be quick to judge, or they're just doing it because they're just spouting off, that can really, that can sting. I was once coming out of Walmart. I'm going to try to edit this story. And there was a couple in front of me completely oblivious to the space around them. You know, we're all filing out of Walmart and they have a cart. They might have had two carts. And I was, you know, I just had a bag and I was sort of trying to navigate through. And they stopped right in the middle of where I was. Now, I went to just navigate around them, but they didn't see me out of their peripheral until I was kind of up next to them, and then they went to move. So we kind of both merged at the same time, and they got so upset with me and immediately started talking about how I thought I was better than they were, and obviously I was in a hurry because I had something better I had to do. I just couldn't believe it. And even though I didn't say anything, I really should have said something, and you know, I guess I could apologize, but it really wasn't that kind of situation. But I thought, whoa, that was quick to judge that situation. And they had no idea. They were oblivious to their own kind of part in the story. What causes you kind of the hair on the back of your neck to stand up? What might some of your masks be? Could they be I've got it all together mask? Or maybe you have a victim mask. Think about the different situations in your life, your work, school, church, home, friends, family. What person, what persona might emerge during those different times? Awareness is a key ingredient for change. I want to say that again. Awareness is a key ingredient for change. If you actually are aware you're doing a certain behavior, that gives you the ability to change. It's only when we see the behavior, when we identify the trigger, then you can start letting go and adopting the real you. It won't happen overnight. You've been playing a role for years. It's your knee-jerk reaction. And in most cases, it's kind of like a safety blanket. So be kind and patient with yourself. Just start to notice the when, the how, the why. That is a big step. When you can notice something, you're activating a different part of your brain. If you could go back and work on one core element and strengthen it to help you navigate life more successful, what would it be? I know what it'd be for me, and I'm really advocating it as a change for really this generation growing up as well. A healthy self-concept. Listen up, moms and dads who are still in that sculpting phase of all those young minds. A healthy self-concept. In order to possess a positive and healthy self-concept, you have to know yourself, love yourself, and be true to yourself. Your self-concept is how you view yourself. How you view yourself determines how you'll experience life. Think of it as like a protective armor. If your shield of self-love is up, then the things people say, they won't land with any sort of impact. When you're vulnerable, having a lot of self-doubt, then you look to the outside for validation, and you can internalize what other people say as fact. It can really hurt. It can lay in there sort of what you feel is dormant, but it's kind of bubbling up. And this can really create limiting beliefs throughout your whole life. Helping our young ones learn to really be their true selves, really to love themselves and accept themselves. And I talked about the difference between, or there is a difference between self-concept and self-esteem. So it's important to have a healthy self-esteem, but esteem is largely based on your feelings of self-worth, your beliefs about being valuable and capable. It's how you view yourself, your self-image, either positive or negative, on an emotional level. Since esteem is based on emotions, self-esteem can be fickle and vulnerable to threats. It derives mostly from external factors such as attractive physical appearance or being popular. You could feel on top of the world one day and you can find yourself struggling at the bottom, disillusioned, disappointed the next. It's very emotional. Instead of being dependent upon validation from external sources and those wavering opinions from everybody you see, how fickle they can be, a healthy self-concept must come from within. Look internally. This takes self-reflection, self-analysis, self-acceptance. You've got to dig deep. If you dig deep, most adult issues are coming from that common theme, an unhealthy self-concept. Not knowing who you are, getting lost in your masks to fit in, and pleasing other people. Needing validation to feel worthy and loved, listening to critics and internalizing all their opinions and facts. Buying into their limiting beliefs for who you are and never challenging the validity of those. Someone tells you, you know, in school, you're ugly. And because you don't have a healthy self-concept, you believe that. You grow up your whole life thinking you're ugly. Think about how that can shape your future. Just believing that. Living in this world without a protective shield of a healthy self-concept is leaving yourself open and exposed to all the arrows of inhumanity. Side note, parents, an overabundance of selfies does not mean your child is confident in their appearance. This can be a warning sign that they're seeking and they need approval, validation. And today it's likes, but tomorrow it could be something else. You know, they take those pictures and the first thing they want to know is, I wonder how many likes I got. Oh, look, they liked it and they liked it. Oh, and they even shared it and they commented on it. And how many times can you tell someone how beautiful and stunning and amazing their pictures are? What is all of that doing to us? It's not feeding our healthy self-concept at all. It's feeding our need for approval. We need to talk about the entire package. You know, if you're, someone asked me that, if you could go back and you could change one thing, because I deal, as you know, I'm a life coach and I'm an addiction recovery coach and I deal with a lot of women with a lot of different issues and a lot of people, I should say, not just women. But if I could go back and do something to sort of rechart the course and maybe, you know, control some of the things that I'm seeing in these groups. Healthy self-concept. Really looking at the total picture. You know, smart is just as important. Creative. Comfortable. Honest. Those are all such great traits that we need to explore and sort of push up. You know, people who would like to explore new ideas and talk through feelings, look for honest people. Look for honest, positive mentors to be with your young people. People that are open and honest and demonstrate a healthy well-being. You know, it's not just what they say, it's how they act that makes all the difference. These positive people need to be their role models, not the role models that we're seeing through internet. The internet's like a babysitter who invited a boy over and then let the kids stay up late, eat junk food, and make prank calls. Seriously, turn it off. Find healthy distractions that involve just connecting with real positive people. We need to connect with mentors that are going to lead our youth through this journey called life. it's not easy. You know, I read an article by Lisa Poole. She was sharing her findings on a recent life transformation. Her book is called Sweet Bedlam. It's a single mom's journey from fear to fulfillment. She said, let go and give yourself permission to be who you truly are and give this to the world in everything you do at all costs, no exceptions. This is your journey to living an extraordinary life. Think about that for a minute. What courage would it take to be who you are in every situation, no exceptions? Every situation. Say what you think, feel what you feel, be who you are, authentic and real. Sounds like a great idea, but terrifying. Lisa says, I can tell you without the slightest hesitation that the one greatest gift I have to share from my life is this. If you want to live an extraordinary life, you first must know who you truly are. And to get to that place, you must find out who you truly are first. It won't happen stuck in fear. It won't happen frozen in doubt. And it certainly will not happen without a dramatic shift in your perception of what the purpose of your life is. So here are a few questions to ponder and work through as you start your journey to finding you. These are questions I actually give out in a worksheet in a session. So something to think about. If you have something to write them down, write them down. Otherwise, I will list them in the blog for this episode on my website, which is encouragementology.com. So I will put that up. For those of you who missed the show, or if you want to share the show with someone else, you can definitely visit my website and you can check out the blog podcast link, get all this show and all the other shows as well. And you can also find me on iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, all of them out there. So first one, what do you absolutely love? Deep down, what matters to you? You might have morphed and bent to fit into a crowd for so long you aren't even really sure what you love. Run a list of things by yourself and see what hits, where it triggers you. Write down the things that give you energy and excite you, people, places, activities, ideas. Write that down. What do you absolutely love? Number two, what do you consider to be your greatest accomplishment in life? This is a moment in your life that you felt really proud, accomplished, successful. What did it take to make that happen? You might pride yourself in being a great friend or a good mother, a thoughtful spouse, a good listener. Maybe you graduated top of your class or finished that project that was hanging over your head. Perhaps you lost a lot of weight or you ran a marathon. Finally started a hobby you've always wanted to do. Just write down that list and then list out your steps, because each of them are so, so important. Each of them are milestones and they should be celebrated. Number three. What would be your purpose if you knew no one would judge you? If there was no fear, no worry about repercussions, no judgment, what would you do? This might take a little reflection. Imagine no judgment or fear. You wouldn't have to explain your actions or talk yourself into anything. You'd be ready to take on whatever it was. Some of you may not be comfortable with feeling that powerful, but try it on. See what you think. Write it all out. Even if it seems ridiculous and it makes you giggle, it makes you you. Number four, if there were no limits to what you could have, what would you have? What would it be? Before self-doubt creeps in, what would your life look like if no wasn't a possibility? List out what you would be doing, where you'd be living, how successful would you be, what kind of person would you be? Think about that. Number five, If you had all the money in the world, what would you do? Make a list of every single thing that you would really love to see happen in your life if you had all the money in the world. After the obvious ones like kids' college, paying off the house, get out of debt, challenge yourself to think along the lines of no boundaries or fulfilling a purpose. Then what would be on your list? Who do you admire most? Who exudes the qualities that you admire most in a person? If you could take the best qualities from people you know and create one persona, what do you think that would look like? Think about what really inspires you in this world and who's living their life out loud. Who do you look to and think, gosh, I'd really like to do that or like to be like that person? Write these down. I mean, this is something that may be an exercise. It may take a little while, and that's okay, because that's awesome. You can sort of work through it. Some of these questions you've probably never asked yourself. I mean, we used to do that thing. Remember the little paper thing that we folded up? I can't even remember what it was called. And you put your fingers in it, and then you would write, like, where you want to live and who you want to marry and all your stuff. And then you would, you know, somebody would have to pick a number, and you would make it go back and forth and then open it up and see what it revealed. You know, we used to pretend like that, but now let's really take a look. It is never too late to do what you want to do. Be who you want to be. So let's get to the root of that. Write it down. Challenge yourself. I hope you've learned some things tonight and maybe thought of things a little bit differently. Challenge yourself. Challenge some of your limiting beliefs. We started out by just how to start peeling back the layers and finding the real you. Revisiting your childhood, you know, when you thought everything was possible. Go back there. Find out what he or she wanted to do. Why didn't you do it? Is it something that you could do today? Could you do an element of it? Maybe you can't be an astronaut, but boy, if you're into space, what could you be doing? What, we talked about things like what life expects from you. There are all these different rules that we have to follow to kind of fit into society and how we can get lost with all the different personas that we need to put on in order to fit in properly. Think about some of those. You know, maybe map out your day and map out when you feel closest to you versus when you feel like you have to pretend to be someone else. You know, the certain ones by, you know, being quiet in church or, you know, raising your hand before you speak in school. I mean, some of those things are just normal ones, but where do you really change hats? Why did we develop them? What are we afraid of? What would happen if we let our hair down and just became ourselves? You know, there's some pros to personas. We talked about some of those. But there's also some cons. You know, when they're not healthy anymore, when we start conforming because we feel like we're not worthy, we won't be accepted, we won't be loved unless we act or respond a certain way. That's when it can be unhealthy. You know, we talked about those personas that don't fit. They're uncomfortable. They're suffocating. They're stifling. They're not us. Why are we doing that? Why do we feel like we need to be accepted to that degree that would put ourselves through that type of pain? Think about that. You know, awareness is the key ingredient for change. Start being conscious of what you're doing and why. I want to impress upon you the importance of a healthy self-concept. It is never too late. It doesn't mean just accepting your flaws and giving up. That's not what it means at all. But it does mean start learning who you are inherently. You know, finding out who you are and really learning to love that person, celebrating your strengths. And then, you know, challenging your weaknesses. That may be something that you just thought you always had, but maybe you're not. You know, the youth needs this more than ever. In order to really stand on your own two feet, be able to say no, be able to speak your own truth, you have to have a healthy self-concept. Give yourself permission to be you 100% of the time, without exception. I'm going to list some of those questions we talked about on the website, so don't forget to check those out. I challenge you, spend time working on you and the regions of your core that typically lay dormant. Listen to yourself without judgment and resist self-doubt at every turn. Only you can activate and honor your true purpose. And it starts by becoming you. Honestly, you. I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges. I stumbled through until the path was clear.